Here we go. Perik beis, perik beis, perik, sorry, perik hei, posik, posik, beis. Tzav, es b'nei Yisrael, v'yishalchum b'namachne, kol tzorua v'chol zov v'chol tome lo nofesh. Very important posik. This posik, very basic yisoid in this posik, of the different, three different types of people who are tome, and exactly where they're allowed to be relative to the Beis HaMikdash. And this, to a degree, is relative. It's very relevant today in the Har Bais. Okay, I always like to go and talk about this. I'm not going to go and elaborate on this, but let's appreciate that today, when we go to the Kosel HaMa'arovi, the Kosel HaMa'arovi is the wall of the Har Habayis. Okay, the Kosel HaMa'arovi is not the wall of the Azora. The wall of the Azor is the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kosel HaMa'arovi is an area which today is approximately, no one really knows what an Amah is, but it's approximately an area that's 1,000 Amos long by 500 Amos wide. Now that's double what it was in the time of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Har HaBayis was a square that was 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Hordis expanded Har HaBayis. Okay, that's pretty clear as day. Hordis expanded Har HaBayis towards the north, East Jerusalem. Okay, even though we call it East Jerusalem, but it's on the northern side is where the Har HaBayis has been expanded. Well, it's all relative to where you're standing, but the northern side. So today the Har HaBayis is you go to Yerushalayim today and you see around the Temple Mount this big wall, all four sides. There's a wall inside the old city. I'm not talking about the wall of the old city, I'm talking about the wall inside the old city, around where the Kosel HaMa'arovi is. The Kosel HaMa'arovi goes all the way around. It goes all the way around in a rectangle. The wall of the Kosel HaMa'arovi, the Ma'arovi is the western wall, but if you follow that wall all the way around, all four sides, that is the wall of Har HaBayis. Now, Har HaBayis is called in Halacha Machane Leviya, the Machane of the Leviyim. Inside the Har HaBayis, somewhere in there was where the Azora, was where the Beis HaMikdash actually stood, which is much smaller, which is a teeny fraction of the area that the wall that goes all the way around the Har HaBayis. The Azora is called Machane Shechina. Inside the walls of Yerushalayim, the old city, okay, even though it's not really accurate, but for our purposes, we'll call it Machane Yisrael. So in the Torah, there are three machanos, and that's what this pasuk is coming to address. There are three camps. Machane Yisrael, that is Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Then the Har HaBayis is called Machane Leviya. And within the Har HaBayis, there's an area where the Azor, the Mikdash, actually stood, which today we really do not know exactly where. We have an approximation, an estimation of where the Har HaBayis stood. Some people are more confident than others. Some archaeologists are more confident in telling you exactly where the Azor stood. And some are not so confident. Some are more, a little bit more vague, but they have a general consensus that it's in a certain area. That area is called Machane Shechina. And this pasuk says there are three types of people that have to be distant from certain sections of this location. And the pasuk begins, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, commanded the Jewish people, Mishalchu min ha-machaneh, send out of the machaneh. This word machaneh over here is, this is a very confusing pasuk, because this machaneh is not a single machaneh. There are three machanois, and it's respective to each one of these three people, called Tzorua, he's the worst. Someone that has saras has to be sent out of all three machanos. He is not allowed to enter the old city of Yerushalayim. The chol zav, a person who has an emission of ziva, which we assume today that no one has. That's an assumption. Is it correct? I don't know. but it's an assumption that today no one today is in the category of a Zav, which some argue that it's not necessarily true. A person can be a Zav today, just not very Nogei Halacha L'maisa. He has to be sent out of the Har Habayis. The Chol Tomei Lo Nofesh, he is not allowed to go into Machane Shechina. Now today, every single one of us today is Tomei Meis. So just because we're Tomei Meis does not prevent us from going into Yerushalayim, and does not prevent us, theoretically, technically, from going on the Har Habayis. But a Tomei Nefesh, according to the Rambam, should not go in the area where the Azara once was, in Machane Shechina. So you see people today going on the Har Habayis. So those are going on the Har Habayis, they are assuming that they're not a Metzora, and they're not a Zav, and they claim with certainty that they know they're not going in the area on the Har Habayis where the Azara stood. So this pasuk, when it says command the Jewish people and they shall send forth from their camp, here the word camp is not really accurate. It means from their camps, their respective camps. That's how the word is being used. Call three different types of people who are contaminated. Called sorua, a person who has saras. Number two, we call zov. That sorua has to be sent out of what's called Machane Yisrael. He may not even enter into the old city. V'chol Zav, a Zav may not enter onto the Har Habayis. V'chol Tomei Lo Nofesh, he can enter onto the Har Habayis, but he may not enter into the area where the Azara stood. Now, let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi here says, Sav es b'nei Yisrael, parasha zu nemra b'yom shukam ha-mishkan. This parasha was taught to the Jewish people when the Mishkan was erected, which was the first day of Nisan in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ushemoyne Parshios Nemru Babayom. 8 sections of the Torah were taught on Aleph Nisan in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kid'isa Babesach Lagit Perakani Zokin. Vishalchum in a Machanes. Send out of the Machanes. So here he says it very clearly. Shaloish Machanes. There are 3 Machanes. Hoyusham. Bishas Chaniyosan, when the Jewish people encamped and they set up the Mishkan. Toicha Kiloim, inside the curtains, that means the Azara itself, that does not exist, that wall today doesn't exist. That's somewhere, that's where the Mikdash actually was. He Machane Shechina. That's where Hashem resides, his divine presence. Chaniyas HaLevim, the Levim are allowed Saviv, they lived And on the Har Habayis, basically, in the Mishkan, in the desert, the Levim were basically living. Their living quarters were in what we would call today the Har Habayis, that area. Kimoyishim Furish Parish Bamidbar Sinai, he Machane Leviya. Umishon, Vyatsoif Machane Hadagolim, from there to the end of where the Golem, all the Jewish people encamped, that would be the equivalent today of the walls of Yerushalayim. L'chol arba haruchos hi machane Yisrael. So Rashi makes it very clear. Hatzorua, a person who is smitten with tzaras, nishtalach chutz lichulon, must be removed from all 3 machanes. Hazov, mutar, b'machane Yisrael, Hazov can enter into Yerushalayim, into machane Yisrael, but umishulach min hashtayim, may not be in Machane Leviya, meaning he may not enter the Har Habayis, and certainly may not go in the area where the Shechina, into the Azara, into the curtains, the Chotzer, where the Mishkan stood. V'tomei l'nefesh, someone who's Tomei, like we are all today, Mutar, he's allowed to go af v'shel Levi, he's allowed to go into Machane Leviya, again, which today is the Har Habayis. V'einoi mishuloch ela mishel Shechina. A Tomei Meis is only technically not permitted to go into the Mokim of the curtains, which means the place where the Mizbeach is, where the Heichel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kiyar, and that today is equivalent to the place of the Azara, which doesn't exist today. Today that's been demolished 1,951 years ago. That doesn't exist today. And that area is called Machane Shechina. V'chol zeh darshu rabbeinu min ha-mikrois b'masechta Pesachim b'masechta Pesachim. Okay, tamei lo nefesh. By the way, we're not going to go through the whole shiur again, is that today there are those who make an argument that we may indeed be not realizing it, we may indeed be a zoven. If a man has two emissions, 2 days in a row, that can theoretically make him into a zov. Now the problem is, the male would think that it's not ziva, it's shechva zera. What is the difference between ziva and shechva zera? Nobody knows. So no one really knows when he has an emission, if the emission he had is an emission of shechva zera, or it's an emission of what's called zov. Okay, so the assumption is men today are not. Now, if a man is indeed a zov, so he needs to bring a karbon, and he also needs to be toiveled in mayim chayim. Going to a regular mikveh is not going to do it, and he also has to count 7 clean days. A woman does not need to see anything special other than ordinary blood. But that dam, has to be seen 3 days in a row, 8 days after her period. If a woman sees dam 3 days in a row, 8 days after her period, she becomes a zava gedoyla. It's not normal that it should happen. A healthy woman will not see dam 8 days in a row after her period, 3 days in a row. But if she does see, that would make her into a zava gedoyla, and she needs zayin nikiyim, and she needs to be toivel in a mayon. She needs to be toivel I'm not sure. You know, there's a whole machloikis. It's a machloikis. I learned Mishnah recently. There's a machloikis if a zava needs a mayon. Maybe not. I'm not even sure. Okay, so therefore, those who want to argue that a person should not be so swift to go to the Har Bayis today for halachic reasons. The only halachic reason to prevent a person from going to the Har Bayis would be that he might be a zav. As far as being a tamei meis, it doesn't matter. A tamei meis is allowed to go on the Har Bayis as long as he's careful not to go to the makom of the machane shechina. Now there are hashkafic issues. There are shkafic issues. First of all, the Ravid holds. The Ravid doesn't say beferish. The Ravid, in fact, the Ravid is says that maybe we can say that there's no kedusha on the Har Bayis anymore. There's no kedusha whatsoever. So you can do whatever you want. You can go in the entire width and length of the Har Bayis. Once the Midrash was destroyed, the kedusha departed. The Ravid does not say that. People misquote the Ravid. The Ravid is just, he says it on the Rambam, that says that it does have Kedusha, not as a matter of fact, but as maybe there's a, if someone actually did go there, you can't be so quick to say that he's chayiv karis. Because maybe we can say that b'di'eved, there's no Kedusha, so he's not going to be chayiv karis for going there. But the Ravid does not give anyone a green light to go there. The Ravid says if a person by mistake he went there, so the rule won't come to an end. We can find the heter to them. The Rambam is not so generous, but the Ravid is. But the Ravid himself doesn't go so far to say a person should go there. Okay, that means now, do we know exactly where the Mokum of the Mikdash is? So today and years ago, there was a lot less knowledge before the archaeologists came along and clarified a lot of different issues. So people really didn't know where it was. Today there's a lot more knowledge and there's a confidence. Amongst many, they know the approximate area. All right, that's not mine. That's each. There are political reasons not to go. You don't want to participate in getting the Arabs worked up and launching missiles. Is that a consideration? Or maybe just the opposite? You have to show them who the boss is. And what about the Mikdashi Tiro? Just because you can go there, is it the proper thing to do? That's a hashkafic issue. So in addition to the halachic, there are 3 issues. It's not a shiur in going to Har Bayis today, but there are 3 issues going to the Har Habayis b'zman hazeh. There is a halachic issue, there is a political issue, and there is a hashkafic issue. 3 separate issues. Each one of these three things is a sheer, is a sugya by itself, is a major, major topic of discussion in the world of halacha, in the world of hashkafa, and in the world of politics. Each one is a sheer in and of itself. And over here, this is a very, very important Rashi. If you don't know this Rashi, then you shouldn't be going there altogether. Okay? If you don't know this Rashi and this pasuk we just learned today, if you don't know this Rashi, you don't belong there altogether. After you know this pasuk and the Rashi, and you've gone to the sugyas, the political issues, and the hashkafic issues, and the halachic issues, then, no, to each his own. None of my business. To each his own. But this is something that is really, really elementary. This is the Aleph Beis and you gotta know what's going on over here. Okay, Rashi goes further, and Rashi says Tamil Nafesh, Din Misoev. The word Tamil means he's contaminated. Litome Nafsha de Anosha. Rashi says a mouthful over here. And this is the Targum. He's quoting the Targum over here, which is very interesting, which is very interesting, because this is something we learn in Targum, and Rashi sometimes ignores the Targum, totally ignores him. And sometimes Rashi says, Ke Targumoi, like the Targum, period. And sometimes Rashi says, like the Targum, and Rashi then goes on to quote verbatim, word for word, what the Targum said. This Rashi is unique, because this Rashi does not say the word kitargumoi, yet Rashi quotes the Targum word for word. So that is in a class by itself. Okay, one thing we learned many times in this shiur, and that is, you can't convince me otherwise, it's not like they taught me in kindergarten, Rashi did not write this in a vacuum. Rashi's commentary, I say so every shiur, Rashi's commentary is clear as day, is a response to the Targum. Rashi is writing a super commentary on the Targum. And I'm really shocked why that point is not made clear in every Sefer on Rashi. I have a biography, a very nice biography on Rashi. It's a little bit over the top, a little bit written like a storybook. And they don't mention that. There's no mention that in the whole book that Rashi wrote. They write all these very interesting stories, Maiselach, about Rashi, about how he wrote his commentary, and they never ever bring up this point that Rashi's commentary is a super commentary on the Targum that is so clear that cannot be denied. There's nothing you can convince me otherwise, and if that is the case, then it takes on a whole new meaning when Rashi ignores the Targum, doesn't mention him, and just goes on to say whatever he wants to say. And when Rashi says the word ki targumoi, period, and then makes a comment, and then when Rashi's ki the Targum says this, but I disagree, the Targum is wrong. And here is very unique. You don't have something like this. But Rashi, he doesn't say ki targumoi. He doesn't argue. Well, he does really argue. He comments, but he doesn't say kitar guma. He just plagiarizes. He says dimisoev litame nafsha de anosha. He is tame. He has become contaminated to a person who has become contaminated to a human being. Tumas meis. Okay, we'll go over this a little bit more in a moment. Oimirani. Then Rashi says oimirani. I say shu l'shoin atzmois adam b'l'shoin arami. It means bones. It means he's saying over here a whole new idea that bones. What do we mean? V'har b'yesh b'bereshis rabba adri yonois. This was one of the Caesars. Adri onois shachik tamia. The word tamia, Rashi says, it means may his bones rot, may his bones be polarized, maybe dissolved and basically pulverized into dust, Shachik. Shachik means to be polarized at Samais. So what is Rashi doing over here? He's taking over a Medrash Rabbah, and he's telling us this Nusach appears very often. Shachik Tam Yah. The word Tam Yah means a bone. May the bones of Andarionus, Harosha, the Caesar who caused the Jewish people great harm, may his bones be polarized and may they be cease to exist. Now go back to the Targum, and the Targum says Dimisoev, a person is contaminated, litome, to the bones. Now that we know the word lamed, tes, memyud, the bones of the soul of a human being. Now, what about the person's bosar? It's very interesting. What about a person's flesh? The tarvat hames, there's a principle, a person comes in contact with a kazayis bosar min hames. You enter into a room and there's a kazayis bosar from a human being. A surgeon took out of a person a kazayis bosar, it's not so much. And the person's in the same room as a kazayis bosar, he also becomes tame. He's also not allowed to enter into machanesh shechina. And yet, that's not what the Rashi says. It's very bizarre. He is contaminated from the bones, which is not flesh, from the neshama of a human being. A human being has left this world. He left over bones and flesh. And now, this individual who is alive came in contact with those bones. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Let's see over here the Targum. Paked Yos B'nei Yisrael command the Jewish people, Yishalchun Min Mashrisa, from the camp, called Disgir. This is a great word. You have a beautiful elaboration upon this in a moment. Disgir means a mitzoyra. Targum translates the word mitzoyra, even though we learn Parashas Tazir mitzoyra. I don't even remember. I'm Mamash, no clue, I forget everything. But over here, he's translated the word in mitzoyra called tsarua, at mitzoyra, with the word segir. Why would we translate? What is the word segir means to close? And why would you call a mitzoyra a person who's closed? So simply you'll answer because he has to be isolated. He is in quarantine. He is in lockdown. He has to be segregated. He's called a person that we've locked the door, he's locked up. The whole didoiv means a zav. The word dido means to flow. There is an emission. There is some type of bodily fluid that is flowing from this person. The whole many person dim soav. Here's what Rashi quoted. He is contaminated litmei to the bones of nafsha, the soul. Now da'anosha of a human being. Here's this Rashi litmei nafsha. The Anosha, it seems that in some versions of the Targum, the word the Anosha did not appear. Okay, there, this is something which is very interesting about finding an authentic version of Targum Unkelus. And Rashi appears to be quoting the Targum, and Rashi adds the word the Anosha, and in the standard editions of the Targum, the word the Anosha does not appear. So maybe that comes to answer the question, why didn't Rashi say Kitargumoi? Okay, we started with that very, because Rashi doesn't do it. Rashi, when Rashi quotes the Targum, Rashi does not plagiarize. Rashi tells you where he got it from. Okay, you would expect Rashi here to say, the style of Rashi is to say, Kitargumoi, like the Targum. Dim so'av litmei nafsha da'anosha. The Oimer Ani, I say it means that this is what whatever it goes on. Rashi here didn't do that. And then when you go look at the standard version of the Targum that we have, it does not have the word the Anosha. Maybe it's for that reason Rashi indeed is not coming to quote the Targum. Rashi, when he gives us this translation, Rashi is citing another source that's not the Targum. Or maybe Rashi on his own is telling you what it means in Aramaic. All right, that's something to think about. Now, let's go to the Gul over here in the Ma'at Sari. He has some brilliant things to say. And let's just go through quickly what he says over here. So he says over here the word of Mitzar. The word Mitzar, there's really amazing stuff that he writes over here. This gear. A Mitzara in Unkelis is called a Segir, which literally means to close up, to lock up, to close the door. Bezoyar, Pershu, Shetzaras Miturgum Beloshon Sigir. The Zohar elaborates upon this theme. Al Shem Se Shesoyger Es Ho'oyrois Ho'elyoinim. Obviously, the Zohar has an agenda. Okay, you don't have to apologize for the Zohar. Okay, the Zohar, when he's going to say the word disagir, he's not going to say he closed up the doors, because the Zohar is his parish is dealing with a parish that's more mystical. He has closed the channels of spirituality. A person in this world, he's a tsinor. There is some type of tube which he is yoinik, in which he channels spirituality. And when a person does averos, a person is in a state of contamination, those channels to the upper worlds have been sealed shut. So the Zohar says, Al Shem Shesoigres Ho'oirois Ho'elyoinim. Because he's in trouble. This fellow, if the fact that he has saras, that means he has done something very serious, a serious crime, which he has denied himself, he has closed himself off from the upper channels. Kosav Bidroshois Rabbeinu Yeshua ibn Shoyev. Okay, this was a holy person, Talmid HaRashba, okay, from one of the later Rishonim. The Rashba was from, you know, the later Rishonim. I guess the 13th century, 14th century, maybe even the 14th century, I don't even know how far. And he lived much after Rashi. And he says there, Rabbi Yisinu Darshu Mitzoyra, Moitzi Sheim Ra, which means he spoke Loshoin Hora. V'tirgim Unkulis. What does it mean, Moitzi Sheim Ra, in the Parashas Kiseitze? If a man says about his wife, if he makes a claim in court that she is not a Besula, she is a Be'ula, she has committed adultery. So there, that's not the sugi. That's not called the lashon hara. Lashon hara is, but there it is moti shema. Tigum glis segira. So what does it mean segira? Sheloi sagar piv ulashonai. When it says that he was moti shema, which is a nutrikin, that he did not close his mouth. This man, he lodged an accusation against his wife. By saying about her, she has done an avera. He did not close his shaloi sogar piv ulashoinai. So therefore, shaloi sogar. So that now obviously here it means by motzi shemra. Here it's been used in the opposite form. He did not close his mouth. Now when he suffers the punishment of being smitten with tzaras, he gets mida keneged mida, he is closed up. By not keeping his mouth shut, but by opening his mouth, and letting and allowing his mouth to say things that are not proper, he is punished, midah keneged midah, where he is now going to be closed up, shut down, locked down. Okay, v'yesh, some say, shetirgim tzaras al shem soifoi, it refers to the end. What is the end? Shetrichim lahasgiroi. Okay, I mean, that's really part of what we just said. It means lahasgiroi, that he's going to be locked up. He's going to be locked up in quarantine. Like really, this is really what we said. It's all totally zebizet. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz perish. Okay, Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz perish. Al pi ma'ash amu b'zoyhar. Shematzora ein tefiloson shmas kevan shadibir loshen hara. Ulechim nikra sagira sheniskiru piv sha'arei shamayim. This goes back to what we said in the beginning over here, that the channel to heaven has been closed. It means this koyach hatfila, his ability to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, has been sealed. Yesh lehoir shein baror imo ois dalid b'roish hamilim disagir didoiv dimusoiv bo litzayin hahe hayidia oi hoirasa asher ayin milim. Okay, he's going to go into another different topic over here. Is it says over in this pasuk, the three dalits. It says, pakeid b'nei sholim. Called discar, called didoev, called dinisoev. doesn't mean anyone that is, you know, let's do that. I'm not even sure what he means by that. I'm going to take so much time to try to figure out what it means. Okay, let's leave that. Okay, let's jump down now to the next part, which is very interesting, and then we're probably going to go forward. We're going to skip a lot of this stuff. I want to try, you know, to do things that are more interesting and not spend time on some technical points. So he mentioned over here this very interesting Rashi. The Rashi comes on to tell us the word litmei means a bone. So here the Targum says, he said the word bone. So here he says the atzari litmei nafsha, ze tirgum mashakos abimikul nefesh, kavanosoi l'shoin atzom atzmois oda. Kavanosoi, shim hoya l'shoin tum hoya lo litargim l'misav nafshei di inosha. There's something over here that's bothering Unkelus. Unkelus, what is he mentioning bones? What's he mentioning bones? And why is Rashi coming to elaborate the bones of a person? What's going on? Let the Targum just say a person has been contaminated to the nafsha de'inosha. Kiderech kol lashon tumah shebemikra. What's this bones doing over here in this parasha? Okay, the oid, im tifarshel lashon tumah yemash, mashakosim edam be'odman nidmul betabemem tamemes. If we're dealing only with tuma, just ordinary tuma, then the pasuk should be speaking about a person that became tamei. But tamei meis. Read further. We have shemayach targumai v'chol dis noiv l'tamei nafsha de'inish v'zeh lo yitochein. Let's explain. Shanogeh b'tamei meis einay mishaleach michutz l'machane. A person that touches a tamei meis is not sent mechutz lamachane. I'll explain in one moment. V'tzorach tam shlo tigim loshen hakosif tamei lenefesh shenit melemes atzmai kamo shetirgim tamei nefesh. Chomo shing lenefesh lo yitama al mis lo yisoy v'lo biyag shakamos lo atzmai sameis v'chein yesh adatak shlo letirgim legarma a bone. The word bone really means legarma. There's a better word for a bone. Kedech shirogel letargim atz atzamos. Koloshen be'etzim adam. Okay, so kosav hamaral. Ki amila tamei hu loshen timtum. Sheham mischaber lemeis. Goyrem sheyit mitamoi oisoi mikol ruach shel kedusha. Now, that's a little bit too complicated for me, that part. And let us read two more lines, and then we're going to put this all together. Litmei navsha da anosha zu girsas Rashi l'ficha choisav unkelis hamil da anosha v'zedoy me targuma kan l'targuma l'kaman tumtum nafsh adam shigam l'nefesh v'nireh shachoisav mila zu shal nefash l'nefesh afilu nefesh behema k'mo sh'amar al mikra acha shaykhul nefesh shemeni afilu nefesh behema k'yut shenemar. Okay, he's not really v'yitochein. One more line. Shepesh b'shem shigul nefesh b'nikud komatz, a komatz. Shemashma hanefesh hayedua nefesh. Okay, so let's now try to explain some of the ideas that he's saying. Let's look again at the pasuk and some of the peculiarities. Here's the problem. The problem is v'chol tamei lo nefesh. What is the halacha if a person comes in contact with the dead? The dead is called Avi Avos, the grandfather. A person that comes in contact with the dead becomes an Av. A second person who touches an Av HaToma becomes a Rishon LeToma, which obviously is a lower Madrega. Now, in the Ma'at Sari, I don't know the halachas, he has told us that the halacha is a person who is a rishon l'toma, not a sheni, not an avatoma, does not need to leave machane shechina according to the Ikar Hadin. According to the letter of the law, the only one that needs to leave the azora is a person who is an av hatoma, a person who himself touched a dead body or was in the same room as a dead body. But if a person touched a person who touched a dead body, so you're one step removed, you're called a Rishon. Now obviously you don't belong in the Beis HaMikdash, And if you touch anything in the Beis HaMikdash, you're making a lot of trouble. But technically speaking, there is no penalty of kares for being in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The penalty of kares is only for a person who actually touched a dead body, but or was in the same room as the dead body, but not a person who touched something that touched the dead body. Now, therefore, this pasuk here is very misleading. Because this pasuk seems to say, V'shalchum min amach nekol tevchol devchol, any person v'chol tomei lo nofesh. Now, okay, there's another peculiarity here. Why is there a komatz lo nofesh? Ordinarily, this type of expression would be read kol tomei li nefesh, with a shava. And that's indeed the way it's presented in other places. Atame li nefesh. Next peculiarity, number three, and that is, why is the Targum translating the word litme and not the word ligarmo? Ligarmo is the Aramaic word for a bone. And what here is the meaning of the word lonofesh? So if we put this, all these peculiarities all together, what it would appear to be is the fact that the pasuk, the Mesorah, is a komatz and not a shava, it's teaching you that this individual has to have had contact with the dead body itself. And when we say the dead body itself, we're not talking necessarily about the actual bone of the dead body, because then it would say ligarmo, but litme here means the essence of the dead body, which means any, the word tame, he single here means like taruvis, any element of the dead body itself equivalent to the bone. Now Rashi over here is starting up with the Unkelis, because Rashi over here says, what does it mean? Rashi says, what's the word Oimer Ani Shehu L'Shoin Atzmois Odom, bones of man, Belosh Narami V'Harbe Yeshuas Rabba Adar Yonos Shochik Tamya Shochik Atzmois. Now, okay, I'm not sure to what degree Rashi is going, but the question is a very powerful question. Why didn't the Targum actually say the word garma, which is the correct Aramaic term for the word bone? And what appears is that what the Targum is trying to say here is, the person who's tamei, there are different types of tuma. There's a tumas behema, and there's a tumas adam, a dead animal, and a dead human being. Tumah that emanates from a human being comes in many forms. They can be, a person can be touching the dead body itself, or a person could have touched a person who touched the person, or a person could have touched a person who, or a utensil. You can go down many levels. There's the avyevois, the av, the rishain. Okay, a person can become really a sheni, but you know, there are different levels. The fact that the mesoira is a komatz lo nofesh is indicating that the person here that is tame is an av hatum. He came in contact with the dead body itself, the dead body of a human being, and not the dead body of an animal. Therefore, to clarify that point, because a nofesh is an animal, also has a nefesh. Therefore, to clarify that point, the Targum says, the chol, any person, dim so'av, he adds in this word to clarify that the person is an av hatoma and not a rishon l'toma. Because in the Torah itself, very often, a person who's even a rishon is prohibited from doing many, many things. Even then, where did your tumma come from? You're a rishon. The person's a rishon who got his tumma from an av, and the av came from the avi avos. That is not good enough to be chayif kores for entering into the machane shechina. And how do you know that's what the, how do you know? Maybe the Pasuk over here is teaching that if a person who's even a Rishon may not enter the Machane Shechina, if that's what the Pasuk really means, it should have said Li Nefesh or Li Nefesh. The fact that it says with the Komatz Lo Nefesh is an indication that we're dealing with an Av Hatoma. And the way the Targum expresses that, that he's an Av Hatoma and came in contact with the dead body itself, he adds in this word, Litmei Nafsha. Now, why didn't the Targum then say Legarma? Because Legarma would be misleading in thinking that the only type of Tumah that you can be Chayif, and Chayif Koris is only touching bones. But that's not true. Even if the person touched the Bosser of the mace, or even if he was in the oil hamace and he became an avatum, that's also sufficient to bring upon, to make him into an avatum, to prevent him from being allowed to enter into the Azara. And don't make a mistake and think that maybe this halakha becoming a primary source of tumah would apply even when it comes to animals, even though that would mean that the person would only be a rishon. Because a dead animal is an av, so a person who touches a dead animal becomes a rishon. But it has an advantage that you are directly connected to the source of tumah. Maybe that would be enough. No. Number one, it has to be a human being. Number two, the person has to be an av, which means he came in direct contact with the dead body, and the dead body comes in many varieties. There's a dead body of bones and a dead body of bosar and even blood, even a revius of dam. Therefore, the Targum added this word, the Tanei, and Rashi elaborated it has to be the anosh of a human being. Don't think that touching a carcass of an animal, even though the person will not be an avatuma, but being that he is similar in this respect to coming in contact with a direct source, that would be sufficient to prevent him from coming into the Beis HaMikdash with a penalty of Karis. No, it has to be the Anosha, and it has to be an Avatoma, and the Avatoma is represented with the word Litmei, which is a broader scope of the dead body. Bones, Basar, even just being in the oil, not even making contact, but being in the oil Hameis, or even Dam. Our Vias of Dam is the same exact thing. These are all different varieties of the Neshama. That is why he may not come. So that's why we have this whole elaboration. And it appears all of this is triggered from the Komatz. The law, that one little Komatz as part of the Mesorah has made for us all of this trouble. Has triggered a Chiddush LaHalacha in the Targum. And Rashi had to come and elaborate and give us more of a background to this bizarre word. The bizarre, I don't think Rashi is coming to disagree. I think what Rashi is coming to just give you more of an appreciation that the word Litomei means bones as a dogma, as an example of coming in contact with the primary source of tumah, not with the secondary source of tumah that came from a human being. And Rashi just tells us what that word comes from, but in this context, if that's really what the Targum meant to say, he would say Garma. He did not say Garma because he wants to allow us to expand the scope to any element of the dead body itself. Okay, so we learned today, we had two things today. We learned over here the word from Mitzora is called three things today. We learned today about the three different machanois in Eretz Yisrael, Harabayis. Inside of that is Machane Shechina, and in Yerushalayim is Machane Yisrael. And we learned about the meaning of the word Atzarua. It means Sogir, and a whole collection of Pirushim, what that means. And we learned about this idea of V'chol Tomei Lo Nefesh. Unusual use word, comma, it's not the way it's normally done. Primary source of Tumah to a human being. And that's why we have this unusual expression of Litnei. Okay, so thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night. Zaydizant. Mayor, you're very quiet today. What's with you? What's going on? Everything okay? Mr. and Ms. Glatter, how are you? How's your Yom Tov?